This is the Dialed Health Podcast. It's your time to start moving forward. What's up, Dialed fam? Happy Wednesday and welcome to the Dialed Health Podcast. My name is Derek Teal. I'm the owner and head coach here at DialedHealth.com. And today we're sitting down with Dialed fam member and very close personal friend of mine, Chaz Halbert. This conversation has been long in the making. I knew I've been wanting to have him on the podcast to discuss the last couple of years of his life because it's really something a lot of us are going through, whether it's right now, whether we think we're about to go through it, or it's past 10, 20 years ago. We have all kind of been in the position where we have bike racing, which is the thing that we really love most. It's like our number one hobby, the thing that we train for, and it just keeps us feeling like ourselves almost more than anything at times. However, we have families, or we're growing families, or intend to. We also have businesses or growing careers that we are also very adamant about progressing. And like any of you will know, and myself included, it's very difficult to balance those things. And so watching Chaz step out of his family business in the last 2 years to start his own real estate business, having his first daughter, and also going through some major up and downs with racing, kind of going from a major high to kind of a big low, and then how he had turned it around just recently, was super interesting. And the way he basically dials everything back just enough to get refreshed to go for another push is inspiring. The way he talks about it and his story in general over the last couple of years, I know without a doubt will either completely motivate you to get it into gear, or it's just going to be comforting because it's going to feel relatable, to be honest. And having this conversation with him was cool because even though I knew his story pretty well, breaking it down so quickly, you know, over the, I think, 40 minutes or so that we talked, it really makes you realize like how much change he has gone through and the constant decisions to keep moving forward that he has made. And that's why he's such a good example for the Dialed Fam community. And I can't wait for you to hear kind of what he's been going through. So I hope you love this episode. And I guess that's pretty much all I got to say on that. I want to start telling you what we talked about, but you're going to find out in a second. Of course, that's going to be after our announcements. We have two big ones, the second of which directly affects you if you are listening to this podcast right now. And then we'll be finishing the episode with, of course, weekly thoughts. We have two very exciting announcements this week. The first one being about the DH Vert Challenge live video premiere and web launch, which is happening all this week. So today, as you're listening to this, hopefully it's the day it drops, Wednesday, September 22nd, we are having a premiere at my studio in Granite Bay, the Dialed Health headquarters, the HQ people, a little 1,000 square foot perfection, in my opinion. We're gonna be bringing in a screen, a projector, a bunch of chairs, and a cooler full of bubblies. I was gonna provide alcohol, but I was like, what am I doing, okay? I ain't got no extra cash for that. So it's BYOB, people. Bring your own booze or have a nice bubbly, sit down and enjoy the DH Vert Challenge video of my Everesting ride that I did a few weeks back. Brady has turned this video around so quickly to make sure that we have it out the week of the Vert Challenge. And that was the goal all along, but I think this whole Vert Challenge video has just become a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger. And I think this premiere is going to be the best way to amp it up until it's launched on YouTube. So if you can't make it in person, you can watch it on YouTube on Friday. I think we're gonna launch it first thing in the morning, and you can just enjoy it from home. It's like 50 minutes long. It gives you a full breakdown of the pre-ride, my bike check. It's going to have, shoot, all sorts of stuff. The funny thing is though, I haven't seen it yet. And that's because of kind of, I don't wanna say how last minute it is, but really just how time pressed everything has been. Instead of editing it and rendering it and watching it and making these changes, we've just been making sure we have every last piece of information in the video that we want. And really just trusting Brady here with the awesome work that he does. And just talking about some of the stuff that's in the video, I have no doubt he's gonna nail it. I mean, shoot, for example, We have a video segment of Jonathan Lee from the Trainer Road office explaining how really difficult this task was and specific my Everesting was compared to even the normal Everesting you would do. So we have a pro with a professional setup shooting us video clips to help just support and add content into this film. So I hope you guys love it. And if you're going to make it in person, please shoot me a DM, shoot me an email, let me know you're going to be there. I'm sure that we'll have chairs for you, but it's really good to get a head count and make sure those bubblies are flowing. And again, if you want to watch it on Friday, make sure you go to YouTube, Dialed Health YouTube channel, and you can stream it there. Now, the second announcement I have for you guys directly affects you if you are listening to this podcast. Are you ready for this? We are hiring a podcast agency, I guess, to help us develop and grow this podcast. Now, Chelsea Morrow, who owns Moxie Media and has a team basically working to edit, produce, market, and build content from podcasts, reached out to me after listening to our podcast. It's rad because she mountain bikes. She does love the Dialed Health podcast already. Chelsea, I know you're listening. What's up? I'm so excited to work together. We connected and it just feels like the perfect timing. We're about to break 100,000 downloads. We're getting close to our 100th episode pretty soon. And I've been doing this the most ghetto way possible up until this point. Like, as I'm speaking right now, I have my phone on a little tripod in my empty studio, and that's it. I edit it on my phone. I've already talked about this. You know, we did our best to have a new intro, but even then, like, to be honest, I know, like, the audio levels aren't correct. And there's so many reasons why this podcast could be more professional than it is. And we're finally addressing that, which feels really good because I think the quality of the content is there. We just need to bring the professionalism all around the board. So not only are they going to help us do that through editing, we're going to make sure we get a proper mic setup based on their recommendations. We're going to have copywriting for each episode. So we're going to have a blog post made for each episode. They're going to help with the description for each episode that you'll find on the actual podcast app you're listening to it. And those are just a couple of things that we talked about. We will have created sound bites from the episode. That's not just me screen recording it and posting it to Instagram. So it's just going to be all around stepping up our game by a team that does this professionally, but who has the owner who loves our podcast already. So it is an absolute slam dunk. And Chelsea, I can't wait to get started. It'll probably mean that we have one bye week where we let kind of time pass for us to get this process implemented. So bear with me when that happens. Hopefully it'll be within the next week or two, but I can't wait to make these changes, you guys, because I can tell we're just so close to having this thing be the way it should be. And hopefully this will be that next step. So that's it for the announcements. DH Vert Challenge video going live, Moxie Media coming in and saving the Dialed Health podcast from itself. And how could I almost forget about the DH Vert Challenge online event that's actually starting this weekend? I get some of my dates mixed up, you guys. My apologies. I forget this is the last time I'm going to talk to you over podcast before the official Vert Challenge starts. So you need a reminder. Go to the Dialed Health Strava and join the Strava group. From there, you can do your DH Vert Challenge ride. All you have to do to officially enter is title it DH Vert Challenge as your ride on Strava. You have to include a photo or even more, and make sure you tell us about your ride. What did you overcome? Was this a PR for you? And really the goal is for you to go PR your vertical ascent, and that will submit you to basically be able to win the Garmin 830 Edge and Sensor Bundle. It's a super sick $500 value package that Garmin stepped up to support, which I'm so grateful that they did because I use my Garmin a ton on my own ride. And if you don't have one currently, this would be a great one to enter and potentially win it. Now, just a reminder, this isn't about you. This isn't about the person who does the craziest ride. It is about the person who really overcomes the most or has the best story behind their ride. So whether it's 1K, 5K, 10K, Everest, or even more, I want you to know that this is about you and your personal accomplishment, not comparing to anyone else. So go to dialedhealth.com. I'll have a link in the description, but you can go to the recent blog post about the DH Vert Challenge. That's actually under the journal tab, and it'll give you all the information you need. But like I said, it's very simple, and most importantly, it's free for you to sign up. So I hope you absolutely crush it this weekend. Feel free to reach out with any questions about the DH Vert Challenge. And I just can't wait to have you guys involved. Let's make this thing huge. Let's inspire not only the people from the community and outreach of my or the Dialed Health platform, but to all your friends and everyone that you know individually that I'm not reaching directly. Let's inspire everybody, guys. Let's do this thing. Shoot, you're about to have a kid and make a huge career change. So let's kind of set the stage for that. 2019, tell me where your head was at before all that happened.
Yeah, so looking back on 2019, it was a pretty cool year. So my wife was pregnant. You know, I was working for the family business, the construction company. You know, I liked it there. I knew it wasn't what I totally wanted to do, but, you know, it was fine, right? You know, we were racing a ton and it was flexible because my dad is a super awesome, he was a great boss and made it easy for me to race and train and all that. And it provided for my family. I think I've competed in 35 races that year over like 5 different cycling disciplines. And I think I racked it up. It was like 15 podiums and 7 race wins that year.
No, 35 races?
Yeah, 35 races, sometimes multiple at the same event, right? But it was cross, it was XC, it was road, it was gravel, pretty much anything. And, you know, my wife and I were really close, but also super independent. So, you know, she would go to the gym and I would go train. It wouldn't be a big deal to leave on a weekend. Little did I know that so much would change once we had our daughter, in a good way, but a massive change. So definitely flipped the script. Turn 2020, you know?
Oh yeah. That scenario is very similar to my wife and I. You know, I would leave. I remember Saturday, she worked basically every single one of them. And for me, that was my all day ride day. So no matter how busy my week was Monday through Friday, I knew I had Saturdays literally all day until she was just off work. And she was super independent as well. So it's not like she felt like I needed to be home all the time or we needed to always be together. I mean, there's so many times where she's telling me to go ride so she can go do her own thing, you know? And
totally.
And even, it's funny the perspective, because at that time in my head, I'm like, oh, I only get one day a week. That's all to myself. That's it. And now thinking back on that, I don't even know I'd probably ride all day, but still, I can't imagine having a full day of just zero responsibility besides keeping myself alive, you know?
Exactly. You know, and just going out on a ride and be like, this could be 2.5 hours or it could be 6. And really it doesn't matter whatever the homies want to do that day, you know? things have changed, but I do look back on those memories fondly.
Yeah. And it's cool. It's just always, it's funny looking back in the perspective and even us having this conversation now as young dads, I know that I got to think that there's people 10, 15, 20 years down the road from where we're at, maybe with kids who are grown up out of the house that are even looking back on what we're dealing with and like shaking their head, you know, but it is a cool dynamic. And it's the thing you don't think about when you become a dad is that like someone's always on the hook for your kid. And most of the time it's you, you know? So basically you wrap up 2019, super successful year. In the beginning of 2020, in February, you have your daughter Piper.
Yeah. Yeah. So Piper was born February 1st. The biggest blessing that has ever happened in my life. And same with my wife's, she spent 4 days in the NICU, which was a little bit scary, but, you know, and then from there it was full gas. I remember the first week that she was born. I spent 5 days a week that week on trainer road doing intervals, with minimal sleep, just because I think it cleared my head.
Nice.
And then, you know, as things progressed and we kind of started moving through the newborn to toddler phase where we're at now, you know, it's forced. Motivated a massive, you know, just pendulum shift in my life and my family's life for the better. But definitely, I will say, you know, it's been a grind in a good way. But the things that have come of it have been amazing, right?
Yeah, and you brought it up before about basically this is the time you're kind of shifting from being selfish to selfless.
Yeah.
Which if you're going to be a successful parent is mandatory to some degree, but we've had conversations as well. And hopefully this isn't too personal, but where we our wives are in the similar position as well, where they do know that every weekend we want to go ride, but it also is difficult for them because it's the same as if they came to us and said, hey, every Saturday from sunrise to noon, I'm going to be gone or whatever.
Yeah.
And you have to get into the mix and it becomes so difficult. I mean, you can navigate it before that. That's the scenario. But once you have a kid, it's a tight schedule, or excuse me, just a schedule in general can really help things go. But when you are occupying that much time for yourself and for writing, you know, it's just not realistic to block out time the same way, you know?
Yeah, 100%. You know,
it's hard to come to grips with.
Yes, for sure. And you know, like, you know, you said it perfectly, you know, from selfish to selfless. And it's not something that is forced by my, you know, I have a very supportive wife. I think you have the same, you know, they appreciate and respect, us being driven, you know, as entrepreneurs and as athletes, right? Even though we're not technically professionals, it's something that, you know, keeps us squared away. But I will, you know, I will say this, my wife, she said exactly pretty much verbatim what you said. She said, hey, what if I told you that for the next 10 Saturdays, I was just going to be gone, you know, from 6 a.m. until 2 or 3 in the afternoon, and you were just taking care of the baby. And maybe that's not as big of a deal. And I would even say now it's, I would be like, okay, well, I love hanging out with my 19-month-old daughter who's super fun and a toddler and has this killer funny personality. But I will say that when she was 3 months old and 4 months old, you couldn't go without her crying or fussing because she was super colicky. You know, it would be an hour and she'd be having a meltdown and there's just nothing you could do about it. So, you know, I was, you know, coach a high school mountain bike team and also training myself and, you know, then starting my own business, you know, in December before, or sorry, December of 2020. But really, you know, just having so much going, it's a lot for sure. And it's definitely keeping the balance is definitely something that you're always switching the perspective, you know, looking at the perspective of it and just trying to keep that balance all the time.
Yeah. And would you say that having Piper is the thing that really solidified you moving in a different direction with your career? Cause you said you liked it. You always kind of knew it wasn't for you, but you had Piper in February. And then by the end of that year, you went into real estate, which we all know you're not guaranteed any pay and it's risky. You had never ran your own business, although you had a high level of responsibility in managing it, the job that you did have. It's just, you're stepping out from that somewhat guaranteed income with a new family into the unknown a little bit. And that's a leap that most people wouldn't be willing to take. But so I'm assuming it was having Piper that was that final nail in the coffin where you're like, I just have to do this for some reason.
Yeah, definitely. And I would say this, it was, I know exactly the day and the time that really that shift happened. You know, she was born and obviously it was like, okay, you know, a month later, everything happened with COVID and the world went a little crazy, right? And, but I will say the first day that I dropped her off at daycare, I walked away from that daycare and I was like, you know, this is not something that that I want to have happen full time. I don't want my wife to have to work full time with myself and us to have someone else raise our child, right? While daycare, I think, is actually, looking back, I think it's a good thing now. And, you know, she does still go to childcare a few days a week. But it was one of those things where it was like, hey, man, are you going to get up and make something of yourself career-wise, or are you just going to keep working for the family business? And real estate was something that I was always interested in. And I just, you know, it was a lot of prayer and a lot of, you know, I have this note on my iPhone that you could just scroll and scroll and scroll. And it's things that I'm grateful for every day, people to pray for. And then what am I going to accomplish on the day? Right. Well, that kind of all just fueled this flame. That was this big pendulum shift, and it was getting my real estate license and then starting my business. And with everything being shut down for so long, I wasn't actually even able to take my test, even though I finished the schooling so quickly. I couldn't take the test until November of 2020. So it was about, you know, from April to then of waiting. And then, you know, at the end of that month, I got my DRE number, I think at like 8 o'clock on a Sunday night. And Monday afternoon, I wrote an offer and had one in contract Tuesday. with one of my best friends. And then from then on, I quit my job in January, and which was way sooner than I thought it was going to be this year. And it's been wide open ever since. And I will say it's conflicted with training, which we'll touch on in a minute, but it's been the coolest and most amazing thing to really to be able to serve people for a living. And then just, you know, having that mindset of, you know, I get to help people make the biggest investment of their life and guide them through that with all the experience that I have from construction and project management and contract negotiations and, you know, just all these good things that I've kind of built, not knowing that it would help me in this career so much. But, you know, we're tracking for rookie of the year at one of the biggest brokerages in the area. And it's been really, really a huge blessing. But it all started with Piper and, you know, just kind of this big wake up call of like, hey man, you're almost 30 years old. It's time to get after it.
Yeah. It's crazy the timing, you know, cause I know your story and it's nice to hear you say it in this kind of wrap it up in the sense, because it reminds me of really how much you've done in the last year and a half, 2 years. But it's crazy the timing of the whole, all the COVID situation and racing and you having a kid and starting this career, because even through 2020, it's almost like with all your energy shifts going into being a dad, going into the new job, it resetting your direction a little bit, you never really conflicted with racing and the thing that probably drove you the most up until that point a ton, because racing was off the table for you in general and for everybody because it was all canceled. But it's interesting because it's like, I wonder how much that helped propel you into real estate and start it successfully. Because if imagine like having to go through that transition while also having to make the decision to say no to all these races you would normally do, or not being able to make that decision and then having it slow down the real estate process. Have you thought about that at all? Am I reading into it too much?
No, you haven't. I will say this though. Interestingly enough, I think that, you know, the training side of things really kept my balance. I always feel like that I'm the best version of myself when I'm doing the things that make me happy and keep me motivated. And for me, you know, cycling and having a goal on that aspect and really learning how to suffer on the bike or in the gym, I think it carries across all aspects of your life. Just, you know, hey, things get hard, but you gotta get tough. And there is, you know, if you put in those little things, those little details, those small little pieces, they do pay off on a long-term goal. During all this, getting my real estate license and kind of being on fire with all that, there wasn't any races, but I had this kind of secret goal of, you know, there was a really good chance that the USAC Marathon Mountain Bike Nationals were going to go off in October in Texas. And I worked with my coach, Matt Chat, to prepare for that event while really kind of building the backside of this business, waiting to get my license. Yeah. And, you know, I ended up, everyone knows the event got canceled and, I ended up in October with all this fitness, just smashing the group ride for a few weeks before taking a little break. But it was one of those things where it kept me super motivated. I will say that the conflict with racing has definitely, you know, and business has come this year. You know, people want to look at homes on Saturdays, and that's also the same day as a lot of bike races. So it's definitely made, you know, it's made it so I have two conflicting major motivations. And one of those is building my business to be as successful as possible. And hey, I'm a type A endurance athlete, right? And being that I'm type A, that means I want to be the best and I want to control things. So I want to be the best in my business for sure. And I want to be, I mean, above all things, the best dad and husband that I can be. But I also want to be a competitive cyclist in whatever aspect that I can be that in, right? So yeah, that has been more of a struggle than I was prepared for, I would say this year, with those two things really coming to a head with business and racing and training. And then also really every moment that I'm away from my daughter and my wife, on a weekend outing or a little event, if I'm on the bike, it's not only do I had this feeling of being selfish, but I also, you know, I didn't want to miss those memories. You know, every time I wasn't there, I felt like I wanted to be there because I care about them so much and I enjoy my time with my family so much. And, you know, it led into a bit of burnout, you know, kind of midway through the year that I've had to deal with and kind of have come around the other side of it now, but it's been an interesting ride.
Yeah. I want to talk about the burnout, but I gotta acknowledge you for a couple things here. So first off, you are right that maybe the Saturday conflictions of your job and racing didn't happen as much in 2020, but I gotta acknowledge you for taking on the most intensive training program you ever have. And I forgot about that when I originally brought up the 2020 thing, because you did, I remember you telling me like, man, I was so happy with my season, but I still haven't had this next level of coaching that the real pros basically have. And we work together with strength training. Of course, everyone listening, Chaz is a Dialed Fam member. And,
oh, yeah.
And I'll just tell you right now, I've offered to give Chaz a free profile because he's a close friend and he's a great representative of who we are as a Dialed Fam. And he still chooses to pay. I mean, come on, dude. That is like the craziest level of support and so cool. And you're not the only close friend I have that does that, which is pretty rad. So anyways, yeah, you took, in the midst of knowing that you have all this new responsibility with your daughter, you're switching careers, which is totally risky. Nothing's guaranteed. You still basically sought out the best coach in our area. Shout out to Matt Chat. And you used his program the way it should be. I mean, because it even conflicted with some of our rides when you're like, hey, I got to do it this way. And it again, for me, it was an awesome learning experience because I'm still getting an idea of what it's like to train at that level or even what the real pros are going through on the road side of things or XC side of things. So anyways, yeah, props to you for doing that and committing that way. And I know you were super fresh with fitness coming into that, what should have been the Nationals race time. And it's interesting though, because at that time, you're also taking your business to another level and then you sort of felt burnt out. And I wanna say that it's connected because I feel like everything is, but tell me about that, because you kind of got to a point where I remember you decided not to go to a race that you had won the previous year it happened, which was-
Motherlode Epic.
Motherlode Epic, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. And I remember talking to you on the phone that week and you just saying, I don't know what it is, dude, but I feel this weird burnout. And it's mostly because I'm so focused on business that I don't almost see the point of going to this race. Cause even if I could go win it, it's like, what's the result of that? And so you're in that real questioning moment of, is racing a good use of my time right now? As much as you love it.
I mean, even to tack onto that, I would say that, you know, I guess, you know, really it was like a 12-month span since I signed up with Matt that 70% of my rides had a power target. And whether that was 4 or 5 hours at a single power target or intervals or whatever that may be, I truly enjoy that? Yeah, I do. But it hit a point where just the cognitive load of doing these tough workouts, but also having a pretty immense amount of stress on the business end of things, just with demand from people, which is, trust me, it's a great problem to have, you know, and I'm super blessed to have the success that I've had. It's really rare. And so I definitely, you know, I don't take that for granted one bit, but I will say that I would be so burnt and my only time of the day to go get out on the bike would be like, you know, 2 o'clock in the afternoon and it would be hot. And I was tired and, you know, my phone is still ringing, emails are still coming across and I would get on the bike and have a power target. And I would just be like, I would rather go eat a bunch of dirt than ride my bike right now. I didn't want to ride. And then it really set in. And I was really fighting this feeling and it really set in when I did this gravel race, the Wild West, gravel grinder. And it was 130 miles or something, this gravel race. And it was super hard. And I went into it and I got dropped, on this really long climb. And then I got dropped again. And then I ended up just out in the middle of the dirt roads outside of Reading by myself with like 70 miles to go in this race. And I questioned every single thing you could possibly question about riding bikes at that point. It was like, I'm gonna go back to racing motorcycles. Bikes are stupid. This is dumb. Why do I do this? I don't even want to be here. I think I'm just not gonna ride bikes anymore. I mean, literally anything negative you could think of happened. And I was trying to figure out if I could call an Uber when I got to this highway. Like going through all these thoughts in my head of like, how do I get out of this race? Can I slice my own tire? It was brutal. I did finish. I make jokes about it with my friends that were there because they know how bad of a headspace I was in. But it really just kind of, I had to take a step back and, we switched up the training. I still work with Matt. He does an awesome job and he's kind of done a good way of helping me pivot. There was really like a solid month where it was just like, hey, go ride for fun. If you don't feel like riding, don't ride at all. I spent a lot more time in the gym, doing a lot of the dialed health stuff. That's a regular part of my program anyways, is I try to do 2 days in the week, 2 days of the week in the gym, unless it's a really heavy interval week or a rest week. But, I was really enjoying that and then just kind of slowly ramped back into things, but skipped a bunch of races, skipped that Motherlode Epic, which is the 2019 version because the 2020 got canceled. But that was a pretty big win for me. And it was hard because there was a lot of guys that I've been looking forward to racing against and kind of defending that one. But just had to choose to opt out of it and just go ride for fun that weekend and spend time with the family, which was cool. And so kind of regained some balance there. But really kind of ramped back into it for about a month, which led us to the Tahoe Trail 100, which was on my calendar as a race to just go ride really hard at because I felt like it was kind of something that aligned with my goals and something that I felt like I could have a good day.
Hey,
And
before we jump into the specific this, I gotta say that you went and bought a dirt bike, so you were serious about quitting riding and just being a dirt biker again, because I know you have your history in that. So wow, you were serious. I didn't know you made the decision mid-race at that race. But so you're saying that you got to that point where you really realized that the training stress, and I remember for you, it was not just the workout itself and the difficulty and having to do it time of day. It was even just thinking about how do I fit this specific workout into my schedule with so many things changing. You have to be so available as a realtor. And so I remember that was a big thing for you and the reason you'd go out when it's 100 degrees and do threshold intervals, which is absolutely savage. Maybe smart, maybe not. Definitely made you tougher, I'll tell you that much. But when you talked to Matt and he said, hey, we're going to go even a month without any forced rides, do what feels fun. Is that what really brought back the joy of riding enough for you to follow through with doing the Tahoe Trail 100 and coming in, feeling excited for it? Or were you excited going in? Was that
Yeah.
what did it? Was the low key month?
It was really just backing it off a little bit, more than anything. And then I was super lucky to have a property that I was selling a little bit, up the 80 corridor towards Tahoe, because obviously we live not that far from there. And I took that as an opportunity to throw my mountain bike in my truck. And after I would show the property a handful of times, I'd go ride my favorite trail system, the Tahoe Donner Trail system. And every time I was up there, it felt like just a breath of fresh air and just kind of slowly regained my motivation and found some better balance with family. I think it's been, man, about 6 or 7 months now where I really don't ride on Sundays unless it's a quick little 1 hour, but typically I don't ride on Sundays at all. Not for any other reason, but I want to go to church with my family and spend the day with them. And so doing that, kind of finding the family balance plus backing it off a little bit, getting to be just a little bit more fun, a little bit more casual. It really recharged the batteries, which was cool, which kind of led into that Tahoe Trail race.
Nice. Thanks for diving into that. And I also have to point out that you backed off. You didn't stop. That's a huge
Correct.
thing. You even said, I spent less time on my bike. I spent more time in the gym than normal. And that's super important for people to hear because you get to this point of wanting to just completely stop what you're doing. And you have this blow up feeling where you're like, oh, I'm not even going to ride, or I'm not even going to work out, or I'm not even going to pay attention to what I'm eating, yada, yada. It's easy to do that. I felt that way, and I've definitely done it at times in my life. So the fact that you just said, just dial it back. Let's get back to why I'm doing it, which is for fun. I love it. And so that's just important for people to, you know, make sure they hear, I guess. I wanted to make sure no one just skipped over that. You didn't just stop. You just backed off a little bit and let the fun and the reminder of why you love bikes so much and just you prioritize your health and fitness come back to you.
Yeah. And I guess I could elaborate on that just a touch too. And really it's, I knew that I was dancing on that line of just wanting to not even ride bikes, you know, at all, and just take a month or two off and see where that landed me. And it was really like, it was something that I had to be like, no, dude, still go out, just ride for fun, keep it fun, because you love this sport. And not only that, you know, you love the, I get just as much joy out of the health aspects of it, you know, and everything that comes along with that. I think, you know, you and I can relate on that. So it was more like, hey, let's just take it back a few notches. Don't go a month without riding your bike, because the biggest thing with that is when you jump back in, it's so demoralizing because you've lost so much fitness. And that is, I think, a mistake a lot of people make, is they'll take a month or 2 months off and then they go ride again. And they're not motivated because they're like, well, I'm nowhere near the level that I was when I was riding, and it's going to take me 6 months to get back there. I don't want to work to do that. Right. So it's really just like, just small increments, you know, can make a big difference.
It's an example of the dimmer switch, not the on or off switch, you know?
Totally. Yeah. Back life down is a set of faders.
Yeah.
In the words of Jonathan Lee.
That's right. I was going to say it.
Yeah.
No, that's perfectly well said. So that's what you did. And you ended up lining up at Tahoe Trail 100. So what happened there?
So I came into that race really, and it was a big on just zero expectations. I didn't know who was signed up. I didn't know how many people were there. It was like, I went and pre-rode the course the week before. I was like, this is a good course. It's, you know, I could definitely use something a little bit more technical with my skill set, but I knew that it was a place that you could do a lot of passing, and it's at high elevation. There's a lot of climbing. I think it's, you know, the average elevation of that race is about 7,000 feet. And I'm a sea level guy, but it was more just, hey, let's go put in the effort, your own best effort. Don't get caught up in it. Don't go with the lead group and blow up, but just chip away at it. It's a 4.5 to 5 hour race. You know, it's 62 miles, sorry. And hey, let's go. And that's just what I did. The first 20 minutes was at threshold pretty much. Up the first climb, but then really just rolled tempo and did not worry about the groups that I was in, and really ended up at, you know, at the back end of the first lap. So at about the 25-30 mile mark, I was catching groups and went from about 44th overall up into the top 20. And just, you know, fueled that ride like crazy. You know, just with, the nutrition and all that was on point, and just put it all out there, and ended up just emptying the tank up to the top of North Star, dropped down the North Star trails, from Middle Mountain, and got a bunch of Strava trophies on my way down, just sprinting to the finish, really not chasing anyone more than just, I kind of had a time in my head that I would have liked to hit. I didn't know that the course was a lot slower than it was in years past, and still hit that time. It was a pretty big surprise. And then, I guess I should, the biggest thing was crossing the finish line in that race. Really the announcer was a guy that I knew and I hadn't seen in a long time. And he told me the results I got, which I thought it was second. It turned out being that I won the 19 to 29 division or whatever the age group was in the 20s. And I had no idea. I didn't know where I was. I was like, I could have gotten fifth or first or 10th. I didn't know. Right. But when I found out that I won, I'm going to say this on your podcast, a little bit embarrassing, but to myself, man, I shed a couple tears of just like, hey, dude, you can still do this. And like, just that feeling of going out and putting in an effort that was just 100% my own effort, and emptied the tank, mm-hmm. And leaving it all out there and still turning a result. It was my first race win, and, you know, since 2019. And it was definitely something that it just felt like a culmination of a lot of work and a lot of stress and a lot of ups and downs and, you know, a silver corral position at Leadville that I didn't take because I didn't go, but I'd like to go next year. It felt like a, and I still think that it's probably my biggest cycling accomplishment. Biggest stage race, you know, there's 900 people there. There's 30 something dudes in my field. It was a pretty awesome day, especially, you know, kind of with the adversity that came before it. So it was a special feeling that I didn't think that I would experience.
Well, just listening to your story over this conversation, it's almost like you went from that same performance and mindset from 2019. You went through having a kid, you went through a job change. Obviously the whole world went through the psychotic 2020. That's kind of continuing, but there was just so much that had happened. You had major burnout, you had your highest level of coaching you've ever had. And so it's like you had so much transition that you had to fight through to get back to that point where not only could you go and race, but it sounds like you enjoyed it if you're getting trophies on the way down and really just pushing it out, like emptying the tank on that last bit, riding your own race. So to cross the line and then to not only feel like you did it for yourself, but it ended up being a great result. I'm sure all of that work over the last couple of years is what kind of hit you and made you emotional. But what I love even more, because I know the second part of this story is that here's when you realize your life really is different than it was in 2019, is that you can't even stay for the podium because you have a showing and you have to leave and go work right after, because you know, if it was 2019, you would have put the feet up at Rubicon and put down a few Moscow Mules, which is a place in the North Star Village. And you would have just been like, oh, I am chilling here and soaking this in for the rest of the day, but you got right back to work.
Yeah, we left about 20 minutes after the race finished. enough to sponge down and split. I didn't even know I had won until I was like rolling out of the parking lot. It was a little crazy. I would have loved to stay for the podium. I don't know if anybody has a contact for that race promoter. I would love to get my trophy. I can't get a hold of anyone. So it was a bummer, but yeah, man, working family call and you know, so that's what you got to do, squeeze it in at times, but I wouldn't have it any other way, to be honest.
That's awesome, man. So what do you think going forward now, because that just happened like 2 months ago, that you're really going to be focused on in regards to racing, work, family? I mean, you've gone through all these new variables in your life. You've had to really become more selfless and really just think on another level from balancing everything. So what does that balance look like for you going forward?
Well, I think the most important answer to that question is that it always needs to be reevaluated constantly. That I think that's a moving target. And I think that being okay with that is the number one priority. Because, you know, as your family grows and as your business grows and, you know, things change, you have to pivot. So I will say right now, you know, it was pretty relaxed even after Tahoe Trail 100 training wise, because work was also super busy. And, you know, really my top priority is building my business and really serving as many people as possible. And then serving my family. Right. But I will say that, you know, these last couple of weeks we have buckled down and, you know, I am planning on going to Marathon Mountain Bike Nationals this year, which is less than 4 weeks away. So the training has become a little bit more structured and a little bit more regimented. I am fully tracking all my food. I mean, we're making sure we're hitting the protein levels and the carb levels. And it is, I go to bed at 8:50 every night and, you know, and it's trying to get 8 hours of sleep and it's full gas for the next 4 weeks. Would I love to do this, perpetually and treat myself as if I'm a professional athlete with an asterisk, because I can only ride about 8 hours a week, maybe 10, with my schedule, and that's pushing it. But, other than that, you know, we check all the other boxes, with diet and nutrition and the workouts, but, you know, it's gonna, after that we'll reevaluate, but some really, really big goals business wise, for the next year. And, you know, deciding if we're going to bring another member of our family on board with my wife. And, you know, it's really just being able to pivot and just looking at the balance of your life and just always being able to kind of take a step outside of it and be like, hey, are we doing this right? Or do we need to make some changes? But always keeping those consistent things, as in riding my bike, staying healthy, you know, making those a top priority, because those are super important. And like I said, the best version of myself is a healthy version that's motivated and confident and, you know, and really driven to perform in all aspects of life.
Dude, that was something I totally needed to hear about pivoting in regards to balance, because I have recently just, I've come to terms with the fact that you really can be maxed out in regards to the workload you take on, the time of day that you have.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that a lot this year as the online business continues to grow with Dialed Health and the more kids and all these things. And it's funny though, because I still get fixed on what I think is the ideal balance or schedule or whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. But even looking back at this year, the amount that it has pivoted and we have been kind of course correcting as new challenges come up or things become more of a priority at certain times. But I don't really think that way intentionally. I think there has been a lot of forced adaptation, but just in terms of family balance, I really like that mindset. So I'm happy you brought that up, dude. And I know a lot of people who are listening could probably resonate with that or benefit from it. So that's great, man. Well, dude, thank you for breaking that whole thing down. We have some rapid fire questions that I thought it'd be pretty fun to end with, but I just think it's really inspiring what you're doing, man. So got to acknowledge you for that. Thanks, I think man. There's a lot of people in our situation with young families, with racing, especially at the level that we're racing at, because we are trying to balance work and either build a business or build our careers or whatever it may be. Let's talk rapid fire a little bit. First off, favorite strength movement or equipment?
So I'll answer both, and they're easy answers. So the movement by far, Bulgarian split squat. I'm always sore after them, but you can load up as much weight as you want. I think there was another guy on your podcast, I forgot his name, but he was the ski coach. And he talked about front racking those dumbbells when you do them too, which is super hard, challenging and fun.
Yep.
Yeah. Abe, I loved that. I tried it right after I listened to the podcast and it was really cool. And the equipment, the trap bar by far, because, you know, I'm not the most flexible dude on the planet. I've been working on that, but that trap bar it's a great way to move some heavy weight around, especially as a cyclist, and keep it safe.
Dude, well said. I love it. What would you say your wheelhouse is on the bike?
Well, definitely an XT guy, right? But I come from, I was a professional motorcycle racer before. So I feel like I'm super efficient, and just keeping momentum up and kind of having good line choice and gaming it a little bit more, because I'm not that guy that's really the best at anything in this discipline. So it's really just kind of gaming it and doing what I can to be there at the end.
Yeah, I'll definitely second that as far as your efficiency after doing that XC ride with you recently. You picked up speed in a couple of areas where I was getting ready to back off and relax a little bit, especially if you kind of crested some flatter sections, even through some rocks, like the way you continued to pedal. That's one thing I took away. I was like, oh, wow, he's not stopping. And so
keep it rolling, man. Always keep it rolling.
So funniest thing that's happened to you as a father.
This is a tough one. There's so many things. I mean, I could think of a million poop stories because I think poop is hilarious and disgusting. There's
a bunch of 12-year-olds on the podcast. Okay, best poop story.
Oh, man. So when she was just a newborn, I was doing a diaper, and, you pick their legs up to clean the little tushy. And, just a little – this is a newborn, probably 2 months old. Ooh. And just squirted some poop on my bare foot, at 6 a.m. And instead of getting grossed out, I honestly just started laughing, and I had to tell my wife to come out of bed, and she comes out, and I'm like, what do I do? There's poop all over my foot. And you know, maybe people don't think that's funny, but I am a child and I think poop is hilarious. So.
No, there's been messes my kids have made where I literally think it's going to be impossible to clean. I just look at it. I mean, one of my kids had a blowout in their diaper in a car seat today, so it's obviously all over them. It's all over the car.
Oh,
And I just look at
yeah.
this and I'm like, I just have to throw it all away. I don't even know how to clean this. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you just throw it in the garbage
You just,
sometimes. I
yeah,
don't
I
know.
do. I'm so guilty of that with onesies, especially if it's got
Oh,
that
just chuck
on
them.
it. Oh, I just, yeah, it's out.
Yeah.
It's
That's
out.
why you have the women have baby showers and you get all those great little outfits because there's many to choose from and replace
Yeah.
those.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
So what's one place you would love to ride that you have never been?
So I have a bucket list item that my wife and I want to go to at some point. We want to go to Iceland, and I would love to ride my mountain bike there. They do some tours there that would just, they look unreal. The scenery looks amazing. It looks technical. It looks fun. It just looks cool. If you've ever seen the movie Secret Life of Walter Mitty, that will inspire you to want to go to Iceland as well. It's a family favorite,
No way,
so.
I've never seen that.
It's great, man. Ben Stiller at his finest. But really,
Oh yeah, Ben
it's the
Stiller.
music and the scenery in that movie. It's a good one for sure.
That's awesome. Yeah, so what did you think of Payson McKelvin riding from the top to bottom?
Yeah, it looked awesome. It looked brutal, but super awesome. But that will fall under the category of I hate gravel bikes, so I
Yeah.
won't go down that road.
Oh, maybe we should grab this up. You know, what's funny too, because Fernwee, who's a Dialed Fam member, one of my favorite content creators, is just starting to release all of his Iceland bikepacking trip that he just
Nice.
did. And yeah, the place just looks wild. I've seen mountain bike videos of it in the past, and the landscape just seems so unique to anything else in the world. You know,
Yeah.
it looks nuts. So I'm with you on that. Hopefully, I can get up there with you sometime. So, last question, favorite post ride meal?
That's pizza. Easy answer. And it's homemade at my house because little known fact. I was a pizza delivery guy for about 3 years, and I loved making pizza, delivering pizza. I loved working at the pizza place. And
I didn't know you did that. You know, I was a pizza delivery guy for a little bit.
I did not. Look at that. More
Yeah.
parallels with Derek and
Yeah, I
Chaz.
know, right? We're like the same people. No, literally, it was my first job, and I remember my first order was my parents. They ordered immediately when I got to work that day.
Awesome.
And I
That
remember
is
my
awesome.
manager like laughing at me as he handed me the ticket. But dude, when I did pizza delivery, it was before I had an iPhone. So I would look up all the directions on a map and then have to
Same.
go and like write them on the receipt. And then I would go and sometimes get lost and like you're trying to figure out all these spots. I mean,
We would print out MapQuest at the pizza place, and
that's
then you'd
awesome.
like have the paper and you'd go hit the houses. But it's another thing that that helped the real estate career because now I know all the Rocco neighborhoods even better, all the street names. I know I've been around that place. So
Is
weirdly,
hilarious.
another career fueling little job there right out of high school.
So then, if you make the pizza homemade, you come back from your ride just totally smashed, and then you still want to make the pizza?
Oh,
Or
okay, well, that's it. I
you're
mean, you
hoping
kind
it's
of got me in a
been
pickle
prepared.
there. Well, I guess, I mean, if you're like talking, okay, here's a pro tip, or we're getting out of rapid fire here, but if you want to like, you smash yourself on the group ride on a Saturday and you're like riding home cracked at 150 watts, just like melted down, this is when you pull out your phone and you pull up DoorDash and you DoorDash a burrito to your house while
Oh
you're
yeah.
still riding home. So then you get home and there's like a super burrito sitting on your front porch and there's a taqueria down the street from my house. They have a great super burrito. And that is the way to do it if you're completely smashed and need something right away. So there's the second part of that answer.
You just saved some people's lives, dude. That is awesome. Because I, in fact, myself, I've never done that, but I have come home when I don't have groceries and I needed food like an hour ago, like real
Yeah.
food. But you also, it's one of those mindsets where you don't want to just go stop at some place. Maybe you don't even have time to do it. So that's a good pro tip. I like that.
On the cool down, man, about 15 minutes before you get home, just bust out DoorDash. And then there's nothing like rolling up to your house as the DoorDash guy is rolling away.
Oh man, I love it. That's a perfect way to end, dude. Thank you so much for doing this podcast. And we got to plug yourself. You know, pimp yourself out a little bit. Instagram handle. We need to go follow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just at Chaz Halbert. So Chaz Halbert. Yeah, I own a real estate business here in Rockland, Placer County, California. But I work all over the place and I love to serve people. Same thing on Facebook, and my website's on there and my phone number and all that. I'm easy to get a hold of, and love riding with people, love meeting new people, and love helping people. So
I love it. And if you follow Chaz on Instagram, you're going to see some riding stuff. You're going to see his cute daughter, beautiful family, and then you're going to get some market tips on real estate. So it's a win-win for everybody. So anyways,
yeah.
Have an awesome rest of your day. I appreciate you doing this, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks a ton, Derek. Thanks for having me on, man.
Welcome to Weekly Thoughts with Coach Derek. Now, there's a lot I want to talk about this week, but I'm going to stay somewhat focused on my ride in Monterey. It was, without a doubt, one of the most beautiful rides I've ever been on. The scenery was out of control. Like, I can't imagine something actually being more visually pleasing than where I was at. Maybe different. Like, I know what the Yosemite Valley looks like, and it's unbelievable. It almost looks just like a painting. And even if you saw the painting, you'd think the artist embellished a little bit. That's how this whole ride felt. I was like, this is almost too good to be true. So I figured I would tell you about my route, and also another dynamic to the ride that I really enjoyed that I haven't experienced in a while, just on the bike in general. And also, I have to mention one of the wildest conversations I've ever overheard in public. It was just insane, and a potential ear muffer if you have kids in the car. So just a heads up on that. Now, Monterey is Central California coast. It's not like hot beach weather. It's like grab a sweatshirt, have some clam chowder, grab a coffee, and get cozy and watch waves hit the rocks. You know, it's like a nice beach, NorCal beach like that. And when you bring your bike, there's a pretty endless amount of options, it sounds like. I had a local reach out and say there's a ton of good roads, but I decided to do the ultimate Fondo tourist. I show up and, you know, just be that guy who wants to see all the sights ride. So I left from Monterey and started by going down Cannery Row, which is like the main tourist place by the aquarium. I stopped at a coffee shop right away, and because it was first thing I did in the morning, and got a little breakfast, saw someone who was actually bike packing from San Francisco all the way down to Santa Barbara. And it was cool because, for one, this was the first time I was in a coffee shop on the bike where I didn't feel pressed for time at all, which was really nice. I came to Monterey for my brother's wedding, and we had a really nice window of time for me to get this ride in. I woke up extra early to make sure I wouldn't have to rush. And of course, like every cyclist, if you go to a destination, you're gonna figure out, like, no matter what the reason is, you're gonna figure out how to bring your bike and do a ride. No matter how much stress it puts on the family, okay? But thankfully, that wasn't the case. I just really got to, in fact, my wife hadn't even come here yet. I didn't have kids with me, and woke up early to do this ride. I get to this coffee shop, and I was like, whoa, this is really nice. I mean, I haven't been doing the bike coffee shop thing in a while, because normally I'm thinking, gosh, I can't even stop for 30 minutes because I only have 2 hours. Or even if I have 3 hours, I haven't had this much time to ride, and I want to hammer and just cover as much ground as possible. So, I mean, I like to be a little aggro on the bike, but it's been so long since I've just stopped and enjoyed a coffee shop, and I kind of missed it. So talking to this person about their bike packing trip, it was super cool, and it just reminded me how cool the culture is around cycling. At one point, I was streaming the UCI Downhill World Cup race, the finals, from the coffee shop on my phone. I'm like, this is the best. So enjoy my time there. Roll out around this point on, I believe it's called Sunset Drive, and this is where like Lover's Point is, and most of the photos you'll see of just beautiful Northern California coastline probably were shot here. Waves crashing on these rocks. You know, we're only like 20 miles above Big Sur, which is that huge bridge photo you've probably seen if you're not in the area. But I'm riding around this. The road is just slightly undulating, turns the whole time, and basically, the land on my left is mostly a golf course or just some beautiful neighborhood. And then it's ocean directly on my right with beach paths and rocks and the waves. And I'm riding toward Carmel. So about halfway, once I get around this point, I get onto 17 Mile Drive, which goes into Pebble Beach. And I guess Pebble Beach is like the number one rated golf course in America or something like that. I don't know what their metrics are that they rate it, but if it's just beauty, I would believe it, because you have these like coastal redwood trees. The golf course is on the hills, on the coastline. It is just, it's out of control, you know? And even as someone who doesn't golf, I'm not into it, but like the golf courses are nice to look at. And this one was just, it was blowing me away. So I'm riding through, I'm trying to tell myself to stop pulling my phone out because I want to take a photo of everything. And I finally get to my turnaround point in Carmel, which is just this really, it's funny because it looks like this quaint beach town on a hill. And you see this little cottage and it's covered with ivy, and you see these coffee shops and all these people. But then you look around and you're like, whoa, this place is really rich. And that little cottage is like $3 million, which it's, you're kind of set up for it. On the way in, when you're on 17-mile drive, you're going through Pebble Beach, the golf course. You are also passing homes that are literally $30 million. Like, we looked up some of them that were for sale, and that was the price of one of them. And the other one was like $33 million. And then there was like a $25 million or something. So it's just these monster homes in one of the most ideal locations ever, just visually. And so I get to Carmel. I decide to go to a coffee shop there as well. And I go to this bakery. There's croissants and pastries and all this stuff. So I grab a couple things. I'm sitting down at the table and I'm just chilling. I'm really enjoying my time. I got this little cute dog next to me, eating my croissant, and this group of two women, one guy, sit down. The guy, I have to describe the way it looks because it did not match with what he was saying. Basically, they sit down 3 feet from my right shoulder. I don't have earphones in. I'm not on my phone. I'm just like sitting there, right? And so I can hear everything. And this guy, he looks like a very successful, put together dude in his probably mid-50s. And he sits down and is talking to these women about like kind of art. And I'm hearing a little bit more and more. And all of a sudden I hear him say that he built, and he's so proud of it, and he's dead serious talking to these women about it, about how he put a 6-foot penis sculpture in his front yard. Like literally. And I heard that, and right away I was like, okay, I am locked into this conversation. Like, I can't stop hearing it. And apparently he has like some gate around his house, so people driving by can't see it, but his neighbor can see into his lawn, like really, or his property really easily, and was so distraught about it that they went back and forth with arguments, and his compromise was to make it a 3-foot penis sculpture, is what they settled on. So now it's like in the process of becoming a 3-foot sculpture. But what he told his friends that he said his neighbor doesn't know is that his real goal is to make it an actual fountain. And that every hour, on the hour, the fountain would, in his terms, spew liquid. And he went as far as describing the color of the liquid, and it's exactly what you think. And I'm just listening to this like, what the heck? And only because this is not like a joke. He's talking about how incredible it is and how beautiful it is and how, like, it's like he's almost talking about how progressive and forward thinking he is. And even the women next to him are just looking at him, and I can tell they're trying to take him seriously, but they're having a really hard time with it. And at one point they're talking about it, and I actually butted in because, you know, they say 3-foot penis sculpture. And like right away I was like, you know, I can't pretend I'm not hearing what I'm hearing. And I like make a joke, and I was like I just kind of acknowledge the fact that I'm sitting right next to you and I can hear you, and this is getting awkward. Well, apparently that made him feel more comfortable, because then they continue talking about it, but a little bit louder. And now he's talking about all of these vagina sculptures that he's made out of wood. And then he's just like showing photos of them to these women, and they're literally looking at him. They're like, okay, wow. Like, that's exactly what you said it is. Like, that's like, it basically be my reaction. I'd be like trying so hard to, I don't know, give this person some, like, I don't know. I'd just be trying so hard to really see what they're seeing, I guess. But I'm like, that is literally a vagina carved out of wood. Like, dude, what point are you trying to prove to yourself and everybody by like just talking about the beauty of all these things? I'm like, come on, man. I mean, am I just 12? Am I the immature one, or are you freaking weird? Like, it is, listen, I'm not here to judge anybody, okay? We all have our weird quirks and stuff. But I don't like when people pretend things are normal that are not normal. It's like, it's okay to flat out just say, dude, what are you talking about? And you could just tell it was forced, you know, or maybe I was reading into it too much. I don't know, but I feel fully comfortable. Like, I don't need to understand this dude. Like, I don't need to agree with it. I am just like, what are you doing? And it got to the point where I'm like, okay, I can't stop hearing this. I have a lot of croissant left. I can't even finish this. I'm getting out of here. Like, this is getting too much, right? So I literally roll away, and the first thing I thought was, like, thank God that I don't have to do that for whatever reason that guy was having to do it for. You know what I mean? Like, not to get too deep about it, but if it was a joke, like, if this was Jackass and someone woke up with a, you know, penis sculpture, statue, fountain, whatever in their front yard, that's hilarious. Like, I think that's so funny. But to actually try and convince somebody about, like, how beautiful this is and take it very seriously is one of the craziest things I've ever heard. So I don't know. Maybe I'm just archaic and, you know, not fun. Is that me? You let me know what you think. Who's the weird one in this position? Anyways, I rode away from that being like, wow, okay, I'm going to get that out of my mind and just enjoy the rest of this ride. And it was funny because a couple times it just came up and I just shake my head like, what did I just overhear? Anyways, I turned around. I take the same route back, just as beautiful, except I had a headwind the whole way. I didn't realize I had a tailwind coming down. And although I wasn't carrying a high average speed, I remember thinking like, oh, I'm really moving, you know? And that's a sure sign of like you have a tailwind when you just feel too good. So I kind of grinded through this headwind, and which felt sort of good. Get back to my hotel, ride was over, it was beautiful. My wife showed up later that day. We ended up having an awesome dinner. Like I think I mentioned earlier, overpriced crab that was kind of under par, but beautiful cocktails. And honestly, just a night away with my wife without kids was really, really refreshing. Without a doubt, the best night's sleep I've had since my twins were born. I slept like 9 hours, and it was freaking awesome. So that was pretty much the weekend, you guys. I think that was the big point I wanted to make. I hope you enjoyed it. I know it was kind of a random conversation, but that's it. I guess, you know, really, there's been cool stuff happening in my personal life lately, but I'm just so excited for the next phase of Dialed Health. And I know that in this last, like Q4 of this year, we're just going to take it to the next level I've been wanting to. You know, I want to really hit our goal of 1,000 active members by the end of the year. And we're just over 800 now. I mean, we have some marketing projects in the works right now. We have the new podcast thing coming on, other team members hopefully coming on to add more communication for the Dialed fam. And also another big thing that I can't really announce yet, but I'll just tell you, there's really stuff moving behind the scenes, and I really feel like we're going to come into 2022 on a real another level than we're at now. So thank you for the support. Thank you for listening to this podcast. I can't wait for you to hear the improved version now that we have Moxie Media coming in and doing an overhaul, and hopefully that'll happen within the next few weeks. You'll get to experience that, and hopefully you'll love the DH Vert Challenge video. Check that out, and remember, you guys, it's DH Vert Challenge weekend, okay? It starts. You can submit your ride, get after it. Go PR your vertical ascent. And literally, I've said it on the last two podcasts maybe, when I talked about my Everesting ride. It sounds corny, but I literally expanded my own belief in myself. It built so much confidence in myself to go execute that ride. I didn't think I'd walk away from it really feeling that lifted up by it. You know, like it's pretty crazy to make that push forward, but you got to go for it. So anyways, guys, have an awesome week. Start moving forward. I'll talk to you next Wednesday. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Dialed Health Podcast. If you are enjoying it, there's two things you can do to really help us out. It makes a huge difference. It only takes a minute or two. The first thing you could do is give us 5 stars on the Apple Podcast app, and also just write a positive comment, say you're enjoying the episode. Anything positive honestly works. I'm not picky. The second thing you can do is to screenshot that you're listening to the episode and post it to your social media. Instagram stories is a perfect place to do this and tag Dialed Health. Not only will I be able to repost it, but it also shows your friends that you're listening and really helps with the growth of the podcast. Now, you can also go to dialedhealth.com and get a membership. Without a doubt, that'd be the most supportive thing you can do. And hopefully you can implement some strength training into your weekly routine and get the benefits of it and have the best rides possible. Thank you so much for the support. I hope you have an incredible week. We will see you next Wednesday.